个第一次实体聚会是不是下雪之前，是哈，很不容易哈，感谢主哈，很开心见到弟兄姊妹们。我们做一个开始的祷告，等这些家长就把孩子送回来，然后我们一起开始我们今天的信息。亲爱的天父，感谢你，主要感谢你让我们在这么美好的一个清晨，让我们来到你的殿中向你敬拜和赞美啊，求你祝福我们啊，以下的主要信息分享的时间，求你的圣灵带领我们每一个人进入到你的话语当中，求你将你的话语启示给我们，让我们从你的话语中得着指引，得着力量，也得着安慰啊，求你祝福我们以下的时间，感谢你，祷告奉主耶稣基督的圣名，阿门。
Yeah. 好。Peace be with you all, brothers and sisters and friends. Yeah, this is our first gathering after the snow. So glad to see everyone here. So let's, with a prayer in heart, may Lord guide us as we listen to His words, and may His words correct our hearts, give us wisdom, and direct our life. Yeah, we put the time in God's hand, and may He use it and bless it. Now let's start our message.
感谢主哈，我们继续我们今天的我们这个士师记的学习。我们今天会学一个很特别的，也是一个很特别的士师哈。我们会学习基甸。
Yeah, so now we are continue our series in Judges. Today we are going to look at another very interesting figure, Gideon.
那因为时间的关系，因为我们今天有圣餐又是双语，所以说呢，这个圣经的经文我只会念中文。那你们如果是谁要是看英文的话，会有这个经文的这个 reference， 你就可以自己翻，自己可以看到那个地方，我们就不用英文来念了哈，这样省很多的时间。
Yeah, for the sake of time, we will not read the English verses. So for the English speakers, please turn to your Bible to Judges chapter 6. So that we can follow along as we only going to read in Chinese. Judges chapter 6.
基甸呢，我们今天会我们会花两次的讲道的时间去看基甸。为什么呢？因为基甸它是一个很特别的一个士师，它是士师记里面圣经花最大的篇幅，在所有的士师里面花的最大的篇幅去描述的一位士师。
We are going to take two sessions.To look at Gideon's life. Actually, he is the person that God gave most words on in all the judges. That's why we will take two sessions.
你如果看士师记的话，你会发现有的士师一句话就结束了，对他的这个记录就结束了。
And you will see some of the judges, God only gave one sentence.
那圣经一共用了3100节圣经来描述基甸。
For Gideon, God gave 3,100 verses.
那所以你看，一节圣经跟3100节圣经，这个还是有区别的哈。
So there must be a reason and why there one person going to get one verse while Gideon get 3,100.
那我们今天看的其实是，你可以把基甸，我们今天可以看到基甸的成功，或者是上帝怎么如何带领他去成功。
So today we are going to see the success that Gideon had. Or we can say how God gave Gideon the success.
那下一次我们当学习基甸的时候，我们看到基甸的失败，他自己如何在这个他的失败的点在哪里？
And the next time we are going to look at how Gideon failed.
那我们一起看今天的这个经文哈。今天的经文主要会集中在这个我们读的这个经文是在士师记的六章一到二一章士师记的六章一到二十四节。
So today we're going to read Judges chapter 6 verse 1 to 24.
我们一起翻到那儿一起来看一下哈。我们来一起读。以色列人又行耶和华眼中看为恶的事，耶和华就把他们交在米甸人手里7年。米甸人压制以色列人，以色列人因为米甸人就在山中挖穴挖洞建造营寨。以色列人每逢撒种之后，米甸人亚玛利人和东方人都上来攻打他们，对着他们安营毁坏土产，直到加萨，没有给以色列人留下食物，牛羊驴也没有留下，因为那些人带着牲畜帐篷来，像蝗虫那样多，人和骆驼无数，都进入国内毁坏全地。以色列人因米甸人的缘故极其穷乏，就呼求耶和华。以色列人因米甸人的缘故呼求耶和华，耶和华就差遣先知到以色列人那里，对他们说： 耶和华以色列的神如此说，我曾领你们从埃及上来，出了为奴之家，救你们脱离埃及人的手，并脱离一切欺压你们之人的手，把他们从你们面前赶出，将他们的地赐给你们，又对你们说，我是耶和华你们的神，你们住在亚摩利人的地，不可敬畏他们的神，你们竟不听从我的话。耶和华的使者到了俄弗拉，坐在亚比以谢族人约阿施的橡树下，约阿施的儿子基甸正在酒榨那里打麦子，为要防备米甸人。耶和华的使者向基甸显现，对他说，大能的勇士啊，耶和华与你同在。基甸说，主啊，耶和华若与我们同在，我们何至遭遇这一切事呢？我们的列祖不是向我们说，耶和华领我们从埃及上来吗？他那样奇妙的作为在哪里呢？现在他却丢弃我们，将我们交在米甸人手里。耶和华观看基甸说，你靠着你这能力去从米甸人手里拯救以色列人，不是我差遣你去的吗？基甸说，主啊，我有何能拯救以色列人呢？我家在马纳西支派是至贫穷的，我在我父家是至微小的。耶和华对他说，我与你同在，你就必击打米甸人，如击打一人一样。基甸说，我若在你眼前蒙恩，求你给我一个证据，使我知道与我说话的就是主，求你不要离开这里，等我归回，将礼物带来供在你面前。主说，我必等你回来。基甸去预备了一只山羊羔，用依法细面做了无酵饼，将肉放在筐内，把汤盛在壶中，带到橡树下，献在使者面前。神的使者吩咐基甸说，将肉和无酵饼放在这磐石上，把汤倒出来。他就这样行了。耶和华的使者伸出手内的杖，杖头挨了肉和无酵饼，就有火从磐石中出来，烧尽了肉和无酵饼，耶和华的使者也就不见了。基甸见他是耶和华的使者，就说，哀哉，主耶和华呀，我不好了，因为我敌面看见耶和华的使者。耶和华对他说，你放心，不要惧怕，你必不致死。于是基甸在那里为耶和华筑了一座坛，起名叫耶和华沙龙，就是耶和华赐平安的意思。这坛在亚比以谢族的俄弗拉直到如今。我们今天这是我们看的经文哈，所以无论我们一直每一次我们其实开始讲士师记，我们都讲到哈，无论俄陀涅、以户、狄波拉，每一个士师开头的时候都是同样的一句话，就是以色列人又行耶和华眼中看为恶的事，耶和华把他们交在米甸人手里七年。
So we review the verse and then we see here the beginning of all these judges.From Othniel to Ehud and Deborah, it all began with this verse. The people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian.
所以大家想象一下哈，如果我每一次来咱们教会讲道，我每一次的讲道的开头都是一模一样的。
Yeah, every time I come here to give the message, the beginning is always the same.
你会觉得可能三四次以后，你会觉得很无聊。
Yeah, well, you feel quite boring that every time the story begin like that.
我可能我自己都会觉得很无聊。
Even to myself, I just feel boring.
但是以色列人却一次一次的陷到他自己过去的那个错误和罪恶当中，他们不觉得无聊。
But this is exactly what the Israelites fell into. They didn't realize how ridiculous it is.
那我们上次我们讲到这个以色列人，他有一个在士师记里面，其实是很多我们有很多这种我们人也会陷入到这样的一个士师的，我们把它叫士师记的一个循环当中。
But actually, this so often we fall into this circle.
但是我讲过说这个循环，它每一个事实其实越往下看，你会发现它每一个循环里面都会有一些的变化。
Yeah, even though the main plot is the same, then you will see the differences, in each judge's time.
那这次的变化在哪儿呢？变化在呼求和兴起事实拯救的这个循环的这个阶段，它产生了一个变化。
Yeah, the variation lies into.How God raised a judge and how the judge saved.
那这次呢，我们可以看到人开始呼求，以色列人开始呼求上帝。那么这次上帝派了一个士师出来。过去是这个样子，对不对
？Yeah. So we will see. Before is always the people cried out and God gave them a judge.
那这次不一样，这次的他的这个循环在哪儿出现了一些变化呢？就是我们可以看士师记的六章，八到十节，他讲到说，当以色列人，呼求的时候，上帝没有马上就差派一个或者兴起一个士师，而是派了一个先知到他们那里。
Yeah, that this time what difference is, instead of God give them a judge right away, God showed himself first to
这个,
a person.
这个他不符合我们人常人的逻辑的地方在哪儿呢？
Where is the illogical place?
我给大家举个例子。
Yeah, let's give you an analogy.
如果你想象一下你放假了，然后你开车，然后你出远门，可能是跟你家人有个 day trip， 对不对？你 出远门去玩，然后你路上的时候车坏了。
Yeah, so for example, you are having a family vacation on a road trip in a car.
然后呢，你就向上帝祷告，你说主啊，求你帮助我，我车坏了，求你帮助我。
And then your car have problem, break down, and you couldn't drive, and then you will cry to God, help me fix this car.
这个时候呢，可能举个例子哈，我出现了。
Yeah, for example, now, the pastor came, God didn't show up.
然后呢？
Yeah, in a way that appear to you seems like it's logical.And then what happened with pastor?
因为问题是什么呢？他的问题在这儿，因为我不会修车。
And the problem is pastor cannot fix the car at all.
所以在那个情况下 ，I'm useless， 我是没用的。
So that's why you cry out to God. God didn't send you a mechanics that has the skill, but give you a pastor.That cannot, do not know car much.
我们弟兄当中有谁会修车，对不对？你如果你出现了，是吧？哈，这位弟兄出现了，是不是更有用一些？在当时那个场景下面，哈，大家想象一下，哈。
Would be helpful if someone that has the skill to fix a car show up, you feel more helpful.
所以大家想，大家明白我现在表达的这个意思，它不符合逻辑的地方在哪儿吗
？You get the why it's not logical.God just send the show up in the way that the person does not seemingly have the skill.
就这一次，上帝在以色列人，他确确实实，他现在他最紧要的需要，他需要一个英雄来带领他们去解决这个被压迫的问题，打败这个外邦的压迫。但这个时候，他派了一个先知，然后这个先知他的信息很简单，他的先知但是也很重要。他说意思就是提醒以色列人，你们的罪还没有被解决掉。
So now you see, God did not, when the people cried out, God did not give them a hero to lead them out of the horrible situation. God sent a messenger, a prophet, give them word. And then the word is reminding the people that their sin has not been dealt with.
所以很多时候我们来到上帝面前祷告，我们就说主啊，求你帮助我这个事情那个事情，你帮我解决这个问题那个问题。
So now you see when we ask God for help to solve our problem this or that, and then.
但如果我们和上帝没有一个亲密的这样的一个关系的话，那么不论你的祷告是否被上帝应允，结局都是一样的。
And then, when you ask for help, your problem, didn't get fixed. And then we will see if we do not have a close relationship with God, doesn't matter your problem gets solved or not, the end result is the same. Actually,
我们都会远离上帝，不管你的祷告是被上帝应允还是不被应允，你都会远离上帝。
The end result is the same.In the sense that you are away from God, doesn't matter your problem is solved or not.
你像我先说，上帝是有可能成就了你的祷告，然后你的反应是什么？如果这个人跟上帝没有亲密的关系啊，他说 OK， 我的问题被解决了，我回到我过去的生活吧。上帝，我现在不需要你了，我已经解决我的问题了。
Yeah, let's see how or why we say this way. Let's think.If your problem gets solved by God when he showed up, so what would you say? You probably will say, okay, now my problem is over behind me. I do not need you anymore, God. Thank you very much.
那如果你的事情没有被上帝成就，你的祷告没有被应允，然后你会说什么？你说这个上帝不灵啊。 OK， 那我就继续用我自己的方式吧，上帝我不需要你了。
On the other hand, if you prayed and you didn't see the problem get solved, what will be your response? Probably you will say, OK, I pray to God many times and my problem still stay here, and then this God doesn't work, and OK, I'm not going to talk to this God anymore.I will still do my own way.
我们为什么会有这样奇怪的结局呢？是因为士师记的这个时代的人跟我们现在这个时代的人都在犯一个同样的错误。
So you can see the problem at Judges time and our current time actually have the same problem.
这个错误就在于以色列人当时他是因为罪给他们带来的这个苦难，他仅仅是在懊悔，我们把英文的这个词就叫 regret， 它不是 repent， 它不是悔改。
So the problem lies, when people have the problem and they feel miserable, and the state they are in is regret. They are not in the state of repent.
懊悔和悔改，它表面看起来都很像。都是很伤心，但是本质上有着天壤之别。
Yeah, even though you feel this misery, then the cause of this misery is different.
懊悔是对罪的产生的这个结果，或者是你需要付上的代价感到忧愁。如果一个人他犯了罪，他不需要承担这个罪的代价和结果的话，他就不会忧愁。
You will see this misery, if it is caused by regret, then it's only because the consequence, the situation, make the person feel worried, concerned, and then it's only because of the consequence, but not because the reason why you are in this situation.
那悔改是他对罪的本身感到一个忧愁，他就是罪，他。一个人悔改，他考虑的问题，他的关注点在于罪如何伤害了我和上帝之间的关系和连接。
But then repent, is in a totally different state. So it's still the bad situation, the misery, the person feel. But then that person is more concerned about the reason. Why I fell into this situation, then they will look at the sin, the relationship, where they have problem and the breakdown between the person and the God.
如果当时以色列人想一下，如果当时以色列人他没有穷乏，他只是活在没有这个外邦的这个压迫的话，哈，他们虽然活在罪里面，但是他不会忧愁，他也不会伤心，他也不会呼求上帝。
Yeah, let's see in the Israelite situation. So if the people is in misery, but without the enemy prosecuting them and cause them that much trouble, they may not feel that bad because they just feel, okay, I do not have much to eat, but then no one is trying to kill me.
悔改它是一个懊悔它的注意力是横向的，它的横向就在于我犯了罪以后，我周围的人事物人事物有没有亏损，如果有没有顺我的这个意思。
Yeah, so that's we see the regret is at the vertical relationship. The person is looking at the surrounding the people whether heThe person had the damage or lose something is because the person, other people, do to other caused by other people.
悔改它是一个纵向的，它是向上的，就是我和上帝的关系有没有受到一个影响。
But repent is vertical, is look at the person and the God to see.Whether there's something is lacking between that vertical relationship.
所以你看到当这个大卫他向上帝悔改的时候，在诗篇里面他这样的说，在诗篇五十一章四节。
So that's why you see what David said in Psalm 51 verse 4.
他说到圣经这样写，他说我向你犯罪，唯独得罪了你，在你眼前行了这恶，以致你责备我的时候显为公义，判断我的时候显为清正。所以我们可以看到在这个大卫他在悔改的时候，他关注的点在哪儿？他关注的点在我得罪了你上帝，他是一个向上的这样的一个真正的这样的一个悔改。
So we'll see in David's heart, when he sinned, he said, the only one that I for short of sin is against God is I sin is in the eyes of God.
那我们每一个基督徒，我们需要去学习这个功课。我们每次向上帝认罪祷告的时候，我们像我们领圣餐，今天我们就说我们在领圣餐之前需要向上帝祷告，省察我们自己，我们是一个横向的省察，还是一个纵向的向上的一个省察？这是一个很重要、很重要、很重要的一个事情。
So just like today when we have the Holy Communion, when we think about that someone that we offense, is we only think about the person, this matter, or we think more deeper in a sense what we are lacking in front of God, what we did is against God's will.
那所以我们是为罪的这个后果忧愁，还是为得罪了上帝本身而忧愁？
Do we concern more about the consequence, the misery may come from the wrong behavior, or we think more about the sin that we had because what we have done against God's law and God's will?And what God feel about?
所以我们可以看到，在诗诗记的六章十一到十二节，我们可以看哈，当就是这样的话哈，一个完全不值得拯救的以色列人，上帝派出一个士师啊来拯救他们，就是基甸。那么我们可以看这个经文哈，当上帝耶和华的使者到了俄弗拉，坐在伊比以谢族人约阿施的橡树下，约阿施的儿子基甸正在酒榨那里打麦子，为要防备米甸人。耶和华的使者向基甸显现，对他说。大能的勇士啊，耶和华与你同在。那么上帝的使者向基甸显现，他称呼他说，我们可以注意到一个很有意思的现象哈，一个上帝的使者向基甸显现，然后他用了一个很有意思的一个词，我把它高亮出来，就是大能的勇士。
Yeah, so we see here now, in Judges, verse 11 to 12, how God showed up, when he's going to raise this judge.So the angel of the Lord come to Gideon and call him the mighty valor.
我们现在看到的这个基甸的样子哈，他其实好像并没有一个勇士的样子。
And so we see when the angel of the Lord talk to Gideon, he is in the threshing of in the wine press doing the wheat, and then we don't see any valor and the mighty in the way that Gideon was when the Lord showed up to him.
我们的翻译把我下一句要说的话给翻译出来了。为什么会在酒榨里面？他，我想象他为什么会在这个酒榨里面去打麦子？当米甸人袭击他们，他说我在这个基甸是在酒榨里面打麦子，为什么会在酒榨里面
？So now let's think about why Gideon is in the wine press.
如果我们大家都知道这个酒榨它的这个地方哈，它一般酒榨，因为我们知道打酒它需要一个阴凉的地方，所以酒榨它一般是在山洞里面或者是在地下，它才可以保存好这个酒。
Yeah, to preserve wine, so the wine press usually is in the cold cool place in a cave or somewhere hidden from the sun.
那我们都有一句俗语是什么？中国人向上三代都是农民哈，所以这个大家应该都熟悉哈。我们知道打麦子的时候，如果你曾经有过这种干农活的经历的话，你都知道这个打麦子的时候，你可以最好的地方就是能够最接收到阳光的地方。
And then we also know if we have the experience of doing the farm work. So when we going to do the wheat threshing floor usually is right under the sun.
那我们可以看到我们的这个上帝叫他的这个基甸大能的勇士，他是在这个酒榨里面在打麦子。如果他真的是一个勇士的话，他应该怎么打麦子？
So when we see the harvest wheat on the threshing floor, usually how we will think as a mighty person if they going to get the wheat.
那我告诉你，一个真正的上帝，如果是这个真正的勇士打麦子的话，他会把他的矛和他的盾和他的剑放在那个田间地头，然后他就在阳光下面打麦子，然后说你们来一百个人我杀一百个人，你们来一千个人我杀一千个人，我继续打我的麦子。这个才是真正的勇士打麦子的 style。
Yeah, so then we can imagine the style of a mighty valor probably will put the armory right next to him on the big field. Then we'll say, I will just stay here under the sun and with my weapon next to me. And if anyone dare to come to me to interfere with my harvesting my wheat, I'm going to fight with them all.
所以为什么上帝会这样称呼基甸？他这个经文其实原因就在于《格林多前书》的一章二十六到三十节。
And then, oh, why God will call Gideon, who is doing harvesting the wheat in the wine press, mighty valor warrior?
这个经文
lies in the Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 1 verse 26 to 30,
经文这样写的，他说，弟兄们啊，可见你们蒙召的按着肉体有智慧的不多，有能力的不多，有尊贵的也不多，上帝却拣选了世上愚拙的叫有智慧的羞愧，又拣选了世上软弱的叫那强壮的羞愧，上帝也拣选了世上卑贱的被人厌恶的以及那无有的，为要废掉那有的，使一切有血气的在上帝面前一个也不能自夸。但你们得在基督耶稣里是本乎上帝，上帝又使他成为我们的智慧、公义、圣洁、救赎。我们在教会里面我们经常听到这段经文。
Yeah, we hear this verse quite often at church.
这段经文它提醒我们，我们自己并不是勇士，我们也不具备勇士的资格，但上帝却大大的使用我们，超乎我们自己的所求所想。
Yeah, so we see when we serve at church, we don't feel any one of us so mighty, so capable. But then God gives us so much so that we will be able to the job that He assigned us.
所以上帝当他见到基甸的时候，他称呼说大能的勇士的时候，上帝他那个时候称呼他，上帝眼中看到的是未来的基甸。而上帝在有时候来到我们的生命当中，他使用我们的时候，我们会说我何德何能，上帝你为什么要使用我？那个时候上帝看到的也是未来的你。
Yeah, so we see here when God called Gideon a mighty warrior is because God is look at his future Gideon. It's not right now. So it's the same way. When God calls us, He knows what we will become one day. So when He called us mighty, is because God knows we will become mighty one day.
所以士师记他的下一章，上帝揭示了他拣选基甸，他甚至他帮助和帮助基甸胜利的一个原因是什么？他的原因在第七章的二到三节，圣经这样写，他说：耶和华对基甸说，跟随你的人过多，我不能将米甸人交在他们手中，免得以色列人向我夸大说，是我们自己的手救了我们。 现在你要向这些人宣告说，凡惧怕胆怯的可以离开基列山回去。于是有22000人回去，只剩下10000。
So we can see the reason here, in chapter 7, verse 2 and 3, when the Yahweh God told Gideon, there's too many people from you, that came forward, and I'm going to send them back. And God sent 22,000 back, is because God said,I do not want any of you boast that you saved yourself.
我们大概知道冷兵器时代打仗的时候人越多越好。我其实在前面讲士师记的时候我提过这一点哈，但上帝却刻意的让这里让基甸去刻意的减员。那么接着我们往下看哈，你说上帝结束了吗 ？No， 我们看第七章的时候，我们大家其实都很熟，因为基甸的事情，我觉得大家肯定很多基督徒我们都很熟悉哈。那么他让这个他继续的让基甸这个把这个人继续的减员，他让他们去喝水，
yeah.
去把他甚至减到还剩下把这32000人减到只剩下300人。
So we are familiar with Gideon's story, in chapter 7, verse 4.And to seven, we see, even though in the old days, we all know the way of war is to have more people. But then here, God is on the contrary. And earlier, we see he sent back 22,000 and only 10,000 left. But God still say, that's too many. God keep on reducing the number.
三百人，如果你的数学好的话，你这个时候应该已经算出来，他不足刚开始来跟随基甸人数的1%，也就是说什么？上帝把基甸招聚的99%的人送回去。
And then, through this method, the how a person drink water, and God only retained 300, and we see from the beginning, there are 33,000 people came is now only come down to 300 is only about 1%. God send back 99% of the people.
所以我不知道这个时候基甸心里面是怎么想的，他可能会心里想说，上帝啊，你还想让我打这个仗吗？
So we probably can imagine how Gideon feel at the time.When he saw God send him to lead the army, and then the people he can lead, now it's down to 1%. He must be thinking, God, are you joking? Are you really going to give me victory only with 300 people?
所以基甸这个时候硬着头皮带着300人下去面对这个米甸人。你会说为什么你说基甸是硬着头皮下去的？我们可以看下面的这个经文。
Yeah, so we will see, in the verse down below, and then Gideon is really 硬着头皮。
He just forced himself to go down.
Yeah, we see that Gideon really forced himself to take this a trip.
你可以看到啊，经文士师记的7章8到12节，圣经这样写，他说这三百人就带着食物和脚，其余的以色列人基甸都打发他们各回各的帐篷，只剩下这三百人，米甸营在他下边的平原里。当那夜耶和华吩咐基甸说，起来下到米甸营里去，因我已将他们交在你手中，倘若你怕下去，就带你的仆人仆拉下到那营里去。首先我们可以看哈，这个当时的这个米甸这些所有的这些外族来要来跟以色列人打仗哈，他们联合起来是人数很多很多，而且那个时候马很少，所以说他们用的是这个骆驼。你当你看到骆驼的时候，其实他就是带的是骑兵。
Yeah, so we see from verse 8 to 12, chapter 7, why Gideon had forced himself to lead. Because the Lord told him to lead those 300 people,take the food and the horn, and now go down to meet the enemy. And then the enemy, you see, it's a big rally. They have Midianites, the Amorites, and at the time, they probably all have their camels with them. And then on the big plane, in the tent, as many as locusts. So it must be a very awful sight for Gideon. And then that's why we say he forced himself to go down there. But God also told him, if you are afraid, you can take your servant with you to go down to the enemy's camp.
所以这个时候他有一个很特别有意思的地方哈，就是上帝让基甸去米甸的军营里面查探，而且这个时候上帝说了一句很有意思的话，他说你如果害怕就带你的仆人普拉下去。
So you see God know Gideon must be very afraid, and he told Gideon can take his servant with him.
所以圣经真的是记录了我们人最真实的一面哈。那个基甸他确实带着他的仆人普拉下到营旁，所以说你想想，如果说这个时候上帝说完这句话以后，如果基甸心里面说我是害怕，但是我不想让我表现出来我很害怕，他会怎么做
？Yeah, so we see that in the scripture, everything is so realistic. We didn't see.God make Gideon look very brave, but it's real person, real feeling, and then God know that he must be afraid. And so that's why he told him can take the servant. But let's think, if Gideon is in that situation, how Gideon will think?
那如果是我听到这句话，上帝对我，或者是像我们想象一下，如果在教会里面，我们说 OK， 你去做这件事情，如果你害怕的话，你带上另外一个弟兄去，为了表示我是男子汉，对不对？我不想让人看到我很害怕，我怎么办？我不带，我就是我害怕，但是我硬着头皮下去，但是我不带这个人。
Yeah, so we will see like in the nowadays, if I give you an analogy, when the leader at church and tell you.To do a task, and then tell you if you think this task is too hard for you, you can collaborate with another brother. And then if you do not want people see or think that you are not good enough, what would you do if the leader said you can take another person along with you to do this?
So.但是基甸他还是他就是我就是害怕，我也不想隐藏我自己的这个害怕，我就带着仆人下去了。
So then if you do not want to let people think that you are afraid, you will say I won't do not take anyone to show that I'm not capable, I'm just going to do all by myself. So now compared to Gideon, heis going to go down to the enemy's camp to investigate, to learn about the enemy side. But then Gideon is willing to take his servant with him.
我们基督徒每天在努力的工作、学习和生活的时候，很多的时候，我可以说是几乎所有的时候，我们都不想成为失败者。我们不想失败，我们也惧怕失败。
So we know none of us want to fail, facing failure, and that we all want to succeed.
基甸的故事让我们明白一个事情，就是我们可以永远不失败。作为一个基督徒，我们可以永远不失败。我们有一个永远胜利和成功的秘诀。
So we see from here, with Gideon's case, we as God's children.We really do not need to be afraid of failure because we have God on our side. Truly, we will not fail.
在基甸身上，我们需要学到的得胜的秘诀就是：如果我们靠着自己， 我们会失败，但上帝永远不会失败。我们需要做的就是顺服他的旨意。
So we learn from Gideon here, that he is willing to believe in God and trust God, and then went down with his servant, and then God gave him victory. So we can do the same if we really trust God.
所以上帝他拣选这个没有勇气的年轻人基甸，他让我们明白一个事情，就是让我们得胜的从来都不是我们自己，而是上帝。
So we see here with Gideon's story, even though he is not that kind of a warrior in a sense, we see in the beginning how he is facing the Amorites, these kind of enemy. But when God told him to be that the judge, took 300 people, he was willing and dare and did everything God said, and he had the victory.
我们可以想象一下，当基甸在整场战争结束以后，他在回顾所有发生的事情的时候，他会说：“胜利是上帝的，不是我的。我唯一的角色就是信靠、顺服了他的旨意。这场战争的胜利是上帝的荣耀，而我很荣耀，可以参与进来。”
So that's why we can fully believe when Gideon looking back at his victory, he knows it's not him. The victory is fully come from God, and then he will feel so thankful that God give that victory to him, and all because he did trust God and believing God's plan, and he did it faithfully.
而那些跟随他的那个三百人去到战场上的人，那些连刀都没有挥过一下的人，他们会怎么说？他们会说，我们人这么少，要赢得这场战役根本不可能。胜利必定是上帝所赐予我们的，胜利是属于上帝的，我得以参与到他大能的作为中，这是我们的荣幸。
Yeah, we can also think we can put ourselves in that 300 soldier went down with Gideon. They will also think that the victory must come from God, because we didn't even use our sword at all, and then we win, and we know this victory is truly from God. It's not from ourselves.
你知道有我们，当我们看基甸的时候，你去看很多的解经书哈，他会讲到说，有很多的解经家会分析说，为什么上帝选那个用手捧着水喝的人，他没有选那个用像狗舔水的那个人哈？你会发现解经书解的天花乱坠，各种各样的 version 什么都有。
Yeah, so we know there's all kinds of Bible commentary say why God will choose those 300 is bend down lap like a dog and not like those usually we will do is take the water to our hand.
理由各种各样，说的有可能他比较警觉，说这种人都是勇士，会打仗的，所以上帝选他们。
Yeah, we see one version is those lick like a dog is very vigilant. That's why God chose those vigilant people.
但当你看基甸的时候，这帮人没有动刀子啊。
But you see that those 300, none of them really use their weapon at all.
我后来看到一个解经家，他写的，我觉得我是最赞同的。他说，上帝就是选那个人数最少的那群人。
And then I saw one version, I feel I like it better. The reason why God chose that 300 is only because that's the minority, the least group that will drink like that. That's why God just chose that group. Because God wants least people.
所以另外一个 group, 他如果人少的话，可能100人的话，上帝还可能会选那个。只要人哪个少，他就选哪个。
Yeah, but then maybe there's another group do something different, has a less number, and God probably will even choose that smaller group.
所以当呢我们还看到回家的一共有多少人，回家的一共有31700人。他们会怎么说？他们会说，我人都没上去，我人都没 show up， 都没有在现场，但上帝却拯救了我，感谢上帝。
Yeah, so we know that God is not look at the number, and we can think though for those that been sent home, the 31,000 people. So what would they think?
所以当基甸胜利的时候，也有的时候是我们基督徒我们成功的时候，我们都不会说，你看我现在这个成就，我现在这个光景是因为我自己多有才能，而是我们基督徒在那个时候，我们应该回顾的时候，我们会说的唯一的话就是，我唯一做的就是信靠和顺服上帝的旨意，这是上帝的荣，上帝的荣耀，是我的荣幸，可以有这样的机会参与到他的工作当中。
Yeah, so we see those sent home, they will think, wow, this victory come down to us from God, because none of us even participated in the fight. So it's the same. When we see we have the victory, we know it's not from us. None of us can boast. All the success is come from God.
当我们回头看我们前面已经学习的这些事实的时候，你会发现不管是以户，不管是底波拉，还有我们接下来看到的很多很多的事实，他们都在世人眼中是不被看好的人。这就是为什么很多时候我们没法接受士师记这本书，因为这些书里面上帝选的这些人都是在我们眼中不配的人。
So we see it's the common thing, all these judges that God choose, none of us think they are greatAnd then none of them think that are qualified to do this job. But then they all had the victory.
所以今天上帝让我们在基甸身上学到的另外一个原因，就是我们需要在基甸的成功上面学到的另外一个功课，就是谦卑。
So the another lesson that we can learn from Gideon is humbleness.
我们基督徒在软弱的时候我们需要谦卑，但其实我们在成功时候我们更加需要谦卑。
So we need be humble when we succeed. We also need humble more when we are weak.
什么时候更加的难谦卑？就是在成功以后。
So when is harder to have this the humbleness? Usually is after the victory.
所以你可以想象一下，当我们有的时候，我们随着我们的灵命的晋升，哈，其实我们在现今这个时代，我们也看到很多很多这种有这种事情和例子出来，就是有很多很多你看了服侍了很多年的这些牧者突然的跌倒。
Yeah, we see in the news that there are great pastors, the leader, Christian leaders, they fall after the big victory.
我们的圣经知识多了，我们的恩赐多了，我们的灵命也增长了，这个时候我们更加需要的是谦卑，只有这样你才可以一直的在服侍上帝的路上走下去。
So we have much more humbleness when we know God's words better, we think, and then we think we have all the big ministries. That's the real time.We need to have humbleness, be able to take the ministry further.
我记得一个牧师他讲过一个道理，他说过这样一段话，他说上帝难道不能把所有的成功和恩赐都一下加给一个人吗？
I heard a message mentioned, isn't God can give us all the talent a person need at one time?
他为什么要一点一点的加给你呢？
Why he only give us the talent little by little, not the whole thing at one time?
因为我们人没有办法承受超乎我们可以承受的恩赐，而这个可以承受上帝多少恩赐的关键在于我们的谦卑有多少。
The reason God does not give us all the talent at one time is because God knows we are not be able to take it with us.Is because we do not have enough humbleness to be able to hold it.
所以我们看到很多的时候，我们基督徒会向上帝说：“我上帝，我想要更多的祝福，更多的恩膏，我想要更多的赐福，更多的能力。”但这个时候，我们需要的是什么？你需要有更多的谦卑去承受这些东西。
So that's why when we ask God to give us more blessing, more talent, more capability. That's the time we need more humbleness.
那么最后一点，我想让在结束，我们在快要结束我们今天这个讲道的时候，我想让大家看一点，在最后一个在基甸身上我们可以学到的一个功课是什么？我们可以看这样的一个经文，在士师记的6:3-4，圣经这样写的，说以色列每逢撒种之后，米甸人、亚玛利人和东方人都上来攻打他们，对着他们安营，毁坏土产，直到加萨，没有给以色列人留下食物，牛羊驴也没有留下。那么我们可以看到，在这个地方以色列这个时候是没有羊的，对不对？因为这个时候圣经说了，羊已经被这些外族人 给弄走了。但是为什么你会看到，当这个基甸他认识到这个人是上帝的使者的时候，他干了一件什么事情？大家还记得我们今天读的经文吗？
So the last point I want to make about Gideon is in chapter 6 verse 3-4. So we know here, whenever the harvest time, the enemy came, what they did is they looted the Israelites. They took away all their food, their oxen and camel and lamb, everything. Didn't left anything for them. But what we read earlier, what Gideon did when he met the angel of the Lord.
所以这只羊，有的解经家认为它是基甸所有的财产。如果不是说它是所有的财产，最起码对于基甸来说是一个弥足珍贵的一个财物。
So we read when Gideon saw the angel of the Lord, he sacrificed a lamb. So now he had this lamb when nothing is left. So we can be very sure that's the only possession, the precious possession that Gideon has.And he protected so well.
所以基甸他向上帝，当他和上帝有这样的一个互动的时候，他选择信靠上帝的时候，他跨出了他信心的第一步。这个第一步是什么？他把他最心爱的羊献给了上帝。
So we see here now, Gideon has the act of worship, the act of trust that he sacrificed his only possession.Immediately when he met God's angel.
所以我们经常会说，信心没有行为是死的。我们对于上帝的信心会促使我们，圣灵会促使我们，当我们信靠上帝的时候，会有一个行为出来。这个行为就是我们信心跨出的，信靠上帝的时候的信心跨出的第一步。
So we always say, faith without action is dead. And here we see.The Gideon truly did the act of faith.
所以我希望我们弟兄姊妹们思考一下，你个人的生命当中，上帝对你的一个呼召是什么？上帝希望你去做的一件事是什么？当你这个事情可能在你的心里面已经徘徊了很久，这个时候你需要做的是第一步。那么你的信心的第一步是什么？去回应他对你的这个呼召。
So let's think about what our action.Of faith means to us when God called us to do something, do we step forward and did?
所以我想提醒大家，问一问我们自己，你现在需要跨出的信心的第一步，去信靠上帝，这第一步是什么？
Yeah, let's think what is our first step when we want to take.When we know what God calls us to do.
所以今天我们看到基甸，我们想帮助弟兄姊妹看到基甸的三个地方，他成功的三个地方。第一个就是我们有没有真的从开始就摆正我们对上帝的心，对罪的心，向上帝悔改的心。我们有没有一颗悔改而不是懊悔的心
？So now let's summarize. So the first point that we learn from Gideon is our heart.Is that is only look at the vertical with the people, or we look at horizontal, look at the people, or we look at the relationship with God? Do we care about our behavior, our thought in regard of God's thought?
那么第二个，我想让大家从基甸身上学到的成功的一点，就是我们有没有意识到，上帝拣选我们，并不是我们多好， 而是他要借着我们这些软弱的人，让世人看到他奇妙的作美作为。我们不管是成功还是失败，我们都要怀着一颗谦卑的心，把荣耀给他。
Then the second point is we need to see, that no matter we succeed or we fail, with a humble heart, we will remain the faith in God. And because we know God, know our future, and He never fail.
我们第三个就是，当你祈求上帝在你的生命当中有对你有帮实行拯救、实行神迹、实行帮助的时候，我们有没有首先对上帝跨出回应我们向他呼召的第一步
？And then the last thing is, faith, the act of faith. When we know God called us, and did we follow with our action to following God's calling?
我希望我们今天从基甸这个没有勇气的上帝靠叫他勇气的这样的一个勇士的身上可以学到这些功课。
We hope we can learn these lessons, from Gideon, that you seemingly he is not a brave, violent, mighty warrior, but then with the faith that all his action, showed he is.
当我们向上帝怀着信靠跨出信心的一步，当我们对他保持一个纯洁的心，在他面前认罪悔改的时候，我们在他眼中就是大能的勇士。
So when we have a humble heart with repentance, when we come in front of God, and we are that mighty warrior in God's eye.
我们一起来祷告。
Let's all pray.
慈爱的天父，感谢你，主啊，感谢你今天借着年轻的基甸，让我们在基甸的身上看到，主啊，我们每一个人需要去警醒和省察我们自己，我们需要去看看我们自己身上，主啊，我们到底是主啊，因为我们的这些罪，是因为我们这些罪的后果而懊悔，还是因为我们真的是来到你的面前，像大卫一样，主啊，我们单单的主啊，仰望在你的身上，我们知道我们的罪是得罪了你，让我们把我们悔改的心关注在和修复和你的关系上面。主啊，也求你让我们知道，主啊，在这个世代，主啊，我们都是软弱的人，主啊，我们都是不配的人，主啊，但是你在这个世代你拣选了我们，你拣选我们这些不配的人，为要成就你大能的作为。主啊，就求你让我们每个人都怀着谦卑的心，不管是我们的是我们属灵的初期，还是我们属灵的中期，还是我们属灵的晚期，主啊，我们一生跟随你，都怀求你让我们怀着一颗谦卑的心，不管你在我们的生命当中有何等大的作为，何等大的帮助，我们自己主啊，我们的生命当中有怎样的成功，愿我们都怀着一颗谦卑的心，将所有的荣耀和颂赞都归给你。主啊，也求你帮助我们，主啊，当你在我们的心中呼召我们来服侍你，来荣耀你的名的时候，来让我们来跟随你的时候，主啊，求你向我们启示你需要我们去做什么样的回应。主啊，也求你给我们一颗坚定的心，让我们能够跨出信心的第一步来回应你对我们的呼召。主啊，求你将这个主啊，这个真的是在基甸上面年轻的成功的这个基甸，他成功的这些功课上面，主啊，让我们学习，让我们也能够效法，让我们在这个时代为你做美好的见证。求圣灵加给我们力量，帮助我们，让我们每个人都在这个时代，主啊，做一个成功的这样的一个基甸。谢谢你，我们这样的祷告，奉主耶稣基督的圣名，阿门。